You all must have heard that famous story. There were two friends. One was lame, had no legs, and the other one was blind. He could walk, but he could not see. And so when they became friends, they were both limited. The lame without legs couldn't move around. He could see, and the one who could move around could not see. So they decided to share their talents. And so the person who was blind carried the person without legs on his shoulder. And so he was walking, and the person who could not walk with eyes would guide him. And so they were able to move around everywhere and do all their activities. So this combination of this blind person and this person with no legs, how they were able to function as a unit is Yajna spirit. How when two people who have different talents combine their efforts to achieve the highest. And that's what Brahmaji the creator said, that with this Yajna spirit, when you work together with each other, share, syncing your differences and sharing each other's talents, there is nothing that is impossible for you to accomplish in the world. The best example of Yajna spirit is the human body, where each part has a different function, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the mouth, the feet, but they all work together for the benefit of the body. So say you are walking and there is a ditch. The eyes will warn you. Now they have nothing to lose. If you fall in the ditch, it's your leg will get hurt or back. The eyes say nothing happens, but eyes say no, watch out. There is a ditch. You need to move on the side and walk. So for the preservation of the entire body, every part, like say if my back is itching, the hand has nothing to gain, but the hand will go and itch the back too for the preservation of the body. So that is the example of the Yajna spirit, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, how we can all work together. And the chapter, of course, started with Arjuna's question, where he talked about two paths, the path of service and the path of knowledge. And Bhagavan says they are one path. The path of service purifies the mind. Doing karma yoga, your mind becomes unselfish, and such a person is ready for the highest knowledge. So the next question is, what is the altar of worship? See, whenever we offer a yajna, we always offer to an altar, like you, when you do Gayatri Homam. Who are you offering? To the sun god. Or where in some places where there is no rainfall, and they are offering a yajna for benefit of all for rain, then you offer it to Lord Indra. So in the world, when we are working together with the Yajna spirit, what is the altar which we are worshipping? What is the gods? Because the altar are the gods. So this is what we'll talk about today in verse number 11. Devan bhavayata nena.
Te deva bhavayantu vah.
Parasparam bhavayantah.
Shreyah paramavapsyath.
So the Lord says, Devan, to the devas, to the gods, bhavayata, bhavayata, you nourish anena, by this yajna spirit, anena, by this yajna spirit, you nourish the gods, the devas, and then te deva, and those gods, bhavayantu vaha, they will nourish you. So you nourish the gods with the yajna spirit, they will nourish you in return. Parasparam bhavayantaha, and together nourishing each other, Shreyaf param avapsyata, param, the highest shreya. What is shreya? Avapsyata, you will reach. So the word shreya is a very beautiful word, which means that which is good. But good not only for me, but good for all people, at all times, in all circumstances. So if I am doing something which is good for me or my community or my country, that is not Shreya. Shreya is that which is good for all people at all times, in all circumstances, in all situations. And in the Kathopanishad, the teacher very beautifully talks about Shreya and Preya. Shreya is that which is good, the path of good, and Preya is that which is the path of pleasure, path of pleasant. And the teacher says man is all the time throughout his life or her life faced with these two choices. Should I choose the path of good or should I choose the path of pleasure? So let us see what they mean by deva, that these devas, when you nourish them, they will nourish you. And together, when you nourish each other, you will reach the highest good. So Shreya we talked about. The deva is, as we said, is the presiding deity, just as for each natural force, for there is God of sun, God of moon, God of the wind, God of rain, God of the ocean. And those presiding deities are nothing but that one Brahman, that one consciousness that is playing different roles, playing the role of Shiva and Vishnu and Brahmaji and Varun Devta and the God of wind, and all those different powers are the manifestation of that one. And you can call him Father in heaven, Allah, Jesus, whatever, but it is one consciousness, just as one lady plays different roles. At home, she may be, she's a mother to her children, she's a wife to her husband, she's a child to her parents, to her siblings, she's a sister, but then when she gets in the car, goes to work, she becomes a driver, and then in the office, she's a manager, and then after that, when she's going to play tennis, she's a tennis player. And then when she's going to a Rotary Club or a community organization, she becomes a social worker. So that one individual plays different roles, whatever are required at that moment, so also this one Brahman, this one consciousness, plays different roles. And it is okay to love one particular form of God, but then one should not become fanatical and say, my God alone is better than your God, because all are one God manifesting. So that is the limited meaning of deva, very limited meaning. Gurudev calls it the productive potential. What he means is that when we put in some effort in a particular field, that field has a potential. Say I work in agriculture, or I work in industry, or I work in computers, I work in business. If I'm working in computers, there is some potential that I can write a program, I can become a programmer, I can, you know, help so many people, so also the businessman, so also the farmer. The productive potential is what helps the world, because when this potential is harvested, and is it harvested for me alone or is it harvested for all? And that is what distinguishes yagna spirit from a selfish. So seva, the ability to give, the ability to serve, what I have obtained I should share with less fortunate, is called the yagna spirit. And there is a very big difference between selfless and selfish activities. I was reading somewhere. So they say if you do a selfish activity, say you get a job and you become CEO of a company, or you build up your body and you become a lot of muscles, or you climb Mount Everest, or say whatever you have accomplished for your own fame or your own aggrandizement, what will happen? Once you leave this body, this mind and senses, that work will end. It's not going to continue. But an unselfish work, selfless work, the what Gurudev, Puja Gurudev did with his inspiration when the followers started Chinmaya mission, when even though Gurudev attained Mahasamadhi, left his body in 1993, the mission continued. In fact, it has grown three times of what it was, and every year there are new centers and more people. So this work will go on and on. Swami Vivekananda started Ramakrishna Mission and the Vedanta Society 100 years after he left his body. the work still goes on. In our case, it's a very limited, small example. We can't compare with those. But a lot of us got together and started Gokul here. And with the inspiration of Pujya Gurudev and Guruji with their format. And even 50 years from now, when all of us are gone, Gokul will still be around, will still continue to teach the children of Bakersfield, will still continue to run. So the point is that selfless activity continues. And a selfish activity ends when you end. So that is what we should do, that let me do something which will continue even after I'm gone. That's what they say, that you should live in such a way that your coming on this earth, you have made a difference. You have made this world a better place. Then and only then your life is fruitful. Then the yagna, we always read as sacrifice. And we always think sacrifice is something not so good. You know, I am sacrificing for him. What is he doing for me? So we always think of sacrifice in a negative way. But Swami Bodhatmananda Ji in his commentaries distinguishes between sacrifice and compromise. He says sacrifice is always when you give up something lower for something higher. So for example, I love my country. That's an intellectual love. And a freedom fighter, for loving his country, will give up his physical comforts. You know, will roam around in the desert, will even give up his near and dear ones for the freedom of his country. So that is, for a higher cause, I'm giving up my personal needs and my personal joys for the benefit of my country. Or obviously the highest, of course, is the spiritual cause. And we see so many examples. Buddha, of course, is the first one who comes to mind, where for that cause of spiritual growth, he gave up all his physical comforts, gave up his kingdom, even gave up his wife and newborn child, young child, just for his spiritual growth. So when something is given up, lower is given up for the higher, that is called sacrifice. Or another meaning of sacrifice is that for the benefit of the majority, the few people give up. So if I give up my comfort for the benefit of many people, that is sacrifice. And what is compromise? Compromise is the opposite, where I preserve my comfort and taking from all others. I sacrifice the benefit of many for the benefit of few. Or sacrifice the higher for the lower. So somebody, for example, we hear examples of sometimes people on the spiritual path. You know, they have progressed so much and then they get caught up in some passion or some vice and how they come down. Or we find even CEOs and great, you know, people, sometimes they get caught in such compromising situations. So where they are forced to resign and all that. So that is sacrifice. Compromising is giving up a higher for a lower, and sacrifice is giving up lower for the higher. So what is yagna spirit? I give up my comfort for the benefit of many. So devas also are interpreted as natural forces. So for example, air is a natural force. They say, now you nourish. So if you nourish the air will nourish you back. If I pollute the air, you know, it will not. But if I keep the air clean and if I do make measures to reduce pollution, then that same air that I nourish will nourish me back. Same is the water. If I keep the water clean, don't pollute the rivers, don't pollute the lakes, then that water will nourish me. But if I pollute, then that will not. So that is what they are saying. These natural forces are like the devas, which when you nourish them, they will nourish you back. Another example is outsourcing. You know, where a company needs programmers and needs a particular software program written. Now, they don't have programmers. So what do? They get another company. Okay, you come in for 6 months, you write the program, set up the new software, train the people. And so that is called Yagna spirit. One person has one talent, another person has the need. They fulfill it and they both benefit. This company gets a new program and this company gets work. Earth is also a deva, which, you know, that's why we worship Earth as Mother Earth. And Earth is not something to be exploited and mistreated, but has to be worshipped and reverently respected. There's a very famous story in Bhagavat about King Prithu. He was a very, very illustrious king. And the kings before him, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, were just sensualists. They were just ruling the kingdom for their own pleasure. They didn't care what happened to the people. And the country was not doing well. There was not much resources were not being taken out of the earth. The earth was not... It said the earth stopped giving. What it meant was that nobody was progressing. But then King Prithu, when he came, he realized that the earth has so much potential. And so he reverently worshipped the Mother Earth. And what do they mean by worship? He harvested the resources. He got the people together. Let's do mining. Let's get resources. Let's plant good crops. Let's, let's also plant intelligently what we need. And then between the crops, let the earth rest. So nourishing the earth, it nourished all the people and they all became prosperous. His whole kingdom flourished. So that's why the world is called Prithvi. Earth is called Prithvi after King Prithu, who was the one who nourished and worshipped the earth. So that is what they're saying. When you worship the natural resources, when you nourish them, they will nourish you back. That is called Deva.